Sermon. So Acts chapter 16:16-18. And if you remember, the Apostle Paul had gone from the region of right up here in Troas, and they crossed the Samothrace. We looked at that island. They went up to Neapolis, and now they are at Philippi. Now, during that next day, when they reached Philippi, on the Sabbath, Paul went outside, and they were trying to find this place of prayer by the river there. They met Lydia, and she was a very wealthy woman, and Paul had an encounter with her, and she came to know Christ. Not only her, but her household. Now, today's sermon is, and the reason I went with just a few verses is there's so much in here that I couldn't possibly get done if I went further than that. So anyway, the first thing we're going to look at is we don't live like the world and the slave girl. As we were going to the place of prayer, prosuke, we've looked at that word before, prayer. So Paul is arriving now at that river. So on the Sabbath he had went there, he met Lydia, he saw some other women there. And Lydia came to saving faith and then begged Paul and his associates to stay with her. So he goes to this place of prayer regularly. And I want to remind us of something about prayer. When I was in Bible college, there was a guy named Robert, not the Robert we know, but he was really dramatic. And one day, Dr. Vaughn said, Robert, of course, Dr. Vaughn talked like this, and he was very quiet. Brother Robert, would you lead us in prayer today? Robert got up, and he stood up, and he laid down on the ground. And we're like looking at each other. You don't need all that theatrics. You know what prayer is? Prayer at its core is simply talking to God. You don't need to use flowery words. Oh, Lord, sanctified. Well, I guess it's okay if you do that. But you can just say, God, this is the area of my life that I'm hurting. I don't think he had magical words that he would say to God. Prayer, and by the way, less is more in prayer. I remember Pastor Dan, he's since gone to be with the Lord in moments. We used to meet on Wednesdays and at his church, and we would... There was a spiral stairs going up to a little prayer room. And I might have mentioned this before, but all four of us pastors would get around and we would pray. And it was just talking to God. And sometimes we were there for 45 minutes. We're praying about things going on in our church. We're praying for sick people. Look, Jesus said this, and when you pray, don't heap empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Prosuke simply means talking to God. That's the word for prayer. And it's important that we talk to God. And so, you notice Paul's making this a habit now. He's going down there pretty much every day. And so he says, as we were going to the place of prayer, which was by the river, we, Luke writes, were met by a slave girl. Paidiske. Paidiske, which means a young slave girl. Now, they're at Philippi, which is not the capital, by the way. But at Philippi, this Paul would have seen this. That's an amphitheater. Of course, then you have the Roman Forum. Just think, the Apostle Paul walked there. This is a place where it had political, it had commerce, it had social, much like the mall. If you go to the mall and you walk through the mall, you'd have all these different shops and sometimes a recruiting station in the mall for the military. This Roman Forum was a place where people would do their business, they would shop, they maybe do some political stuff. But the Apostle Paul is now met here in Philippi. And by the way, a panoramic view here for a minute. This was Philippi, not all of it. What's interesting is that when you arrived in Philippi, as much as the Roman Empire throughout, anywhere, scholars estimate anywhere from 40 to 50% of the people that were on the streets were in some form of slavery. So you could say it this way, they were the average Joe. And just because you're a slave doesn't mean you weren't educated. So as Paul's walking around, they encounter, and by the way, Philippi at the time of Paul estimated 14 to 20,000 people lived in Philippi. So as they're going to the place of prayer, they encounter a slave girl. Let me remind us again of something. This is a real place. Philippi is a real place. The Bible is real people, real places, and therefore archaeology has just continued to give us more evidence for the truth and the validity of the Scripture. So Paul is now, all four of them now are running into the slave girl. And we're going to look at worldliness here, 16b. Who had a spirit of divination, a spirit of divination. That's Pneuma Puthon, which was, some say she was demon-possessed. That's absolutely true. But this is something unique here. This is why I wanted to drill down a little bit on this. Pneuma Puthon. And what that literally means, to have a spirit of Python. A spirit of Python, to tell people for pay what would happen to them in the future, to be a fortune teller. So the question is, what is a spirit of Python? Well, you have to go back and then you have to look at Greek mythology. And this actually, and when I say Greek mythology, we know it's not true. This is stuff that was invented by the Greeks, and it spread all through their kingdom. So here we have a. Okay, so this is the temple at Delphi, which had an oracle in it, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But this girl had a spirit of Python in her, and that came from the origins of Greek mythology. So when we talk about Greek mythology, we are talking about Apollos. And the legend goes, the story goes, which is absolutely not true, it's just made up stuff, he encounters a Python at the Temple of Delphi. He slays the python and then assumes the power of that python. And that leads to the next one, which is what this slave girl was. She was a Pythia. And what that simply means is that this slave girl, who was a fortune teller, it was said that Apollos came inside of her and took over her. It was a possession type thing. And so she would be elevated a little bit, and you can see people would come in and they might ask stuff like, if I start this business, will it succeed? If I do this, will I have a boy? Will I have a girl? Will I have a child at all? They may ask, what's going to happen to me in the future? And this slave girl, who was quite good at it, and I do believe she was demon-possessed, no doubt, was able to predict people's future. Pythia. Now, this leads me to something that, you know, this still goes on in our culture today. It still does. In fact, have you heard of California Psychics? It's advertised on the radio. People will, and you notice, $1 a minute. So you call in and you go, I don't know, this may take 30 minutes to unpack, to give you, that's, what, $30 right there. We don't do that. We don't do that. We don't go to horoscopes. We don't go to all this stuff. We have the Word of God and we have God's presence in our life. And this girl would go through and she would predict things that was happening. Sometimes as I read some of the stuff, there was vague answers that would be generalized. Now there's no doubt, I believe, well, Scripture said she was demon-possessed. It wasn't the spirit of Apollos, it was a different spirit. Let me stress this again. This is not what we do as believers. We don't go to the horoscope and look up, this is a great month for business. We just don't do that. That's not something that we're involved in. So this Python spirit, or Pythian, Paul writes a little bit in 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I am afraid that your minds will be led away from the true and pure following of Christ, just as Eve was tricked by the snake with his evil ways. Snake, Pythia, Python. Revelation 12:9 says this, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the world. Pythia. And Pythia. Here's the kicker. This girl was being used, as most slaves were. This girl was being used. Listen to this. And brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. So here you have this slave girl who is definitely possessed, telling people's fortunes, and she encounters the Apostle Paul. Now listen, we do not live like the world lives. We do not do this stuff. We don't turn to Ouija boards and you know, when I was a kid, we used to have this eight ball, and I can't remember. You shake it and you ask it a question, and it comes up. Oh well, okay, I'm going to have a girlfriend next week. Crazy stuff. This is what Paul was encountering. This is what Silas, Luke, and Timothy and Paul were encountering. This slave girl. We do not live like the world, but we live by the power of God. We do not live like the world, but we live by the power of God. She followed Paul and us. So this slave girl is following, and you know, she was gifted at telling people's futures. But it had nothing to do with biblical stuff. I want us to understand this morning that we live in a spirit world. We live in a spirit world. There's stuff around us that we can't see, and sometimes we don't understand, but we live in a spiritual world. Paul says it this way in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 to 13. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Therefore, in light of this, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. As Paul is looking at this girl, we have to be mindful of the fact that there was a spirit inside this girl that was not of God. You think, well, this is, Pastor Mike, this is probably just a New Testament problem, this fortune-telling stuff. No, it's actually, it's been around for thousands of years, actually. You remember King Manasseh? He was probably the most vile king that Israel had. Of course, in 2 Chronicles, I think it's chapter 33 or 32, he does repent and turn back to the Lord and kind of straighten things out. But when he became king, everything broke loose. He went hard evil. This is what it says. He practiced magic. This is 2 Kings 21:6. He practiced magic and told the future by explaining signs and dreams. And he got advice from mediums and fortune tellers. Let me say this. Your life and my life is in God's hands. If we want to know anything, all we have to do is, Paul demonstrated, going daily down there to that riverside to pray and encountering people and possibly preaching. God knows you. He knows me. We do not need to seek outside advice, because we've seen so many times here in the Acts that we've been going through, is that God will direct our lives. And no matter what happens, no matter what the future brings, God has your life, He has mine, He has a plan, and we do not need to listen to spirits who have absolutely no concept of what God wants to do in our lives. Let me encourage you, if you like to read your horoscope daily, take that part and throw it away. It's meaningless. It's worthless. And it's probably written by some person that's just doing the stars and looking around. We have the Bible. We should be reading the Bible, studying the Bible, so that we can know God's perfect will for our lives. And I think prayer has a big place in this. Because if you're not praying about your life and direction for your life, you start migrating. Oh, you hear this? This lady can do this. And look, pray to God. He will give you direction. He will talk to you, and we can trust Him. So this is interesting. They're in Philippi, not a big Jewish contingency there anyway. This is what the slave girl says. She gets this right. Listen to this. These men are servants of the Most High who proclaim to you the way of salvation. She got it right. She got it right. There's a phrase here, Most High God. That would have been foreign to the people at Philippi. That's mostly a Jewish designation. So as they're traveling, the spirit girl, and I like what John Polhill says in his commentary, like the demonics during Jesus' ministry, the possessed girl was evidently able to see into the true nature of Paul's preaching, particularly into the reality of the God he proclaimed. She constantly followed the missionaries, shouting that they were servants of the Most High God and proclaimers of the way of salvation. Which is absolutely true. Paul will confront this very briefly. But I want to remind us of something. In Jesus' ministry, I call this Jesus' Bay of Pigs incident, when he cast out demons. And it comes from Mark 15, 11 to 13. A large herd of pigs. Now, the demons have already said, we acknowledge you as Jesus. This is what went before it. But this is the meat of it. The demons begged Jesus, send us into the pigs, let us go into them. So Jesus allowed them to do this. The evil spirits left the man who had tormented this man and went into the pigs. The herd of pigs, about 2,000 of them, rushed down the hill into the lake and were drowned. Here's the reality of who we are fighting against. As believers, as Christians, we are not fighting in particular the world, the flesh. We are fighting what is behind all of that. And what is behind all of that is demonic activity. Demons know who Jesus is. Satan knows who Jesus is. This slave girl, you're men of the Most High. Of course she knows that because she's possessed by a demon and the demons know it. And here's the good news. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you rebuke Satan, he will flee and not bother you because in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan and the demons cannot stand against the child of God. And so when we think about this, We often think the slave girl was not the issue. Well, she was in some way. But it was what was behind the slave girl that was the issue. The issue was she was possessed. And so, you know, brothers and sisters, when we go out there this week and we live the highways and byways of life, we got to remember it's not actually the people, although they do bear responsibility. I get that. I'm not saying they're out. But they are influenced by the spirit of Python, ultimately. Then we can meet it head on and pray for those people that may give us all kinds of problems in our lives. So here's the big question. Here's the big question. Paul doesn't allow the designation from the slave girl. Why doesn't he do that? He didn't turn to her and say, "You're right. We are people from the Most High God and we're preaching the truth." Why didn't he do that? Because the Apostle Paul knew to give her any credit would also influence others to say, "She got that right. Let's go and listen to her and what she says." So Paul, you notice Paul doesn't go, "Well, thank you very much for telling everybody the truth about us." Paul doesn't want demons messing with the gospel because that's the very one that the gospel targets is demons. I don't know, we as Baptists, we get this idea that, well, the spirit world is out there, but I'm telling you, look at what is happening in our culture. And by the way, there's only two genders, male and female. We live in a culture that needs to know Jesus, and they are influenced. I mean, you can see it all over the place. And if you watch the news, and I do this every day at lunch, pulling my hair out. That's watch the news for 1 hour to see what's going on in our culture. And some of the stuff that's taking place, you can trace it right back to the demons going, "We got them. We got them. Look at what we got them doing." Stuff that when I grew up, amazing what is being allowed today. Who's behind that? Not left-wing liberals. Satan is behind that. And we got to remember that. We got to keep it in perspective because I get excited too about it. But Paul didn't want to acknowledge the girl's right. He didn't want to drum up more business from her. Paul knew what was going on. Paul knew what was going on. Just be mindful that the demons and Satan know Jesus. And they know the followers of Christ. They know you. Very interesting stuff here. Paul's response. This is where we get to the response part. "And this she kept doing for many days." So you can see Paul, Timothy, Silas, walking around, Luke, walking around, and this slave girl. They're preachers of the Most High who proclaim the way of salvation. Just follow them around. It kind of almost felt like harassment. Now listen to what happens. This is funny. And she kept saying and doing this for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed. Did you catch that? I just see Paul preaching. Even though she's saying the truth, Paul's becoming annoyed with this. And the Bible's not specific here, it just says annoyed. That means highly irritated. Became annoyed, turned and said to the girl, no. He turned and said to the Spirit, Paul knew what he was fighting against. This girl was just an innocent bystander who had been possessed by Python. Paul says, he goes, okay, you know what? He points to the girl who has the Spirit. And look what happens. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And the Spirit came out. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And this girl who had been possessed, who followed them around, the Spirit was taken away from her. Because Paul understood. When it says annoyed and irritated, I still think Paul wasn't mad at the girl. I want you to understand that. I don't think that's the case. I think Paul was mad at the Spirit in the girl, to where he turned and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of this girl. You know, as I was studying this, I actually had compassion for this young slave girl. And I think sometimes we lose the reality that the people in our lives that do things that irritate us do it not so much because they're bad people. They have been influenced. So as believers, our response to that is, Lord, I pray that you would speak to this girl's heart, this boy's heart, this man's heart, and that you might soften their heart towards the gospel whereby they might be saved. And then there is flat out demon possession today. I'm not a cessationist on that. How a man can go into a store and blow 50 people away. He heard voices telling him to do that. There is demon possession. And the other thing that we got to watch out for is that we don't become enthralled with it.